And now we have the pleasure to hear for the sermonette Mr. David Jones from Gloucester, England.
Good afternoon, everyone. Still awake then? For the moment. So, excuse me whilst I wrestle with the technology. So I hope you're having a lovely feast. It's been good to bump into so many people that I don't recognize, actually. But if you like Italy as much as my family and I do, it probably won't be the first time that we bump into each other. A wise man once said, there are two ways that you can approach life. The give way and the get way. And that's a very true statement. Particularly now, as so many of our kids and our children are getting to the point where they're embarking on their own careers, going to college, getting an education, perhaps now is quite a good time to reflect on some of the reasons that we do those things and some of the reasons perhaps we shouldn't be doing those sorts of things. You know, society teaches us that success is characterized by a lot of the things that you see flipping up on the screen now. The big car, the beautiful Riva boat. That's one of my favorite, actually. That's an Italian boat made by a guy called Carlos Riva, far beyond my ability to afford. But there are a lot of things that we tend to subliminally want out of life, and life has a very seductive way of telling us that we should really have these things, we deserve these things, and our lives ought to be about acquiring these things. But there's a limited currency in that, in actual fact, and as we all know, you know, the last iPhone that we bought, it was great to have it for that moment, then about 6 months later, 2 years later, the next one came out, and we thought, oh, grief, would like the next one. But the benefits that you get out of that are very, very short-lived. The benefits that you get out of getting the next 65-inch or 12-foot TV or whatever it is are very short-lived. They're very transient things. So really, how much value is there if we go after life just trying to acquire things, even if we're trying to acquire experiences? The benefits of those sorts of things can be fairly short-lived. And I guess if we all chose our individual sets of pictures to characterize what we would have liked to get out of life, we'd probably choose a different set, but I hope you don't mind me choosing a few of the ones that looked quite appealing to me. But they're kind of disconnected from God's values in quite a substantial way, arguably. Because God's values are about something very, very different, arguably diametrically opposed to getting those material things and that sense of success from our peers. It's about giving. And there's this beautiful half a verse in the Bible which is so rich with meaning that we ought to take a considerable amount of time pondering it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, it says in Leviticus 19:18, or the second half of that verse indeed. And then it says, I am the Lord. And it says, I am the Lord, because that you shall love your neighbor as yourself is a particular characteristic of God. It defines him. That's why he says, that's what makes me God. That's the way I behave. And that's the way he expects us to behave as well. And loving our neighbor is one thing, but loving our neighbor as ourself is a completely different ballgame, isn't it? If we ever hold ourselves to account, as we should, against that particular standard, we really need to. It really judges us very harshly, doesn't it? It's a tough goal to achieve. But it's a goal that we should be striving to consistently achieve. And arguably that represents the give way of life. There's a lovely verse that's nestled in Isaiah 58, the fasting chapter that we probably read during the Day of Atonement. And it's one of those verses that, you know, sometimes in the morning I play myself the Bible as I'm trying to get back off to sleep. And this was one of the verses that as I was lying there in the twilight of the morning, it kind of knocked me sideways and woke me back up again because it's rich with meaning. I'm going to turn to Isaiah 58, verse 7. And the reason this verse is rich with meaning is it's kind of explosive with its importance, if you like. It talks, in the context of fasting, it talks about a way of life that should be very give-centric. And in the context of fasting, let's remember that, it says, what's this fast about? What should you guys be fasting about? And one of the things it tells us to be fasting about is to give our food to the hungry. As we're fasting, I don't know if you've ever done anything like that, but when you're fasting, have you ever gone to your refrigerator and looked at the food that's in it and said, you know, I'm commanded in Isaiah 58, verse 7, to give the food that I would have otherwise eaten today to somebody who's hungry. I haven't done that. But that's what this demands of us. Moreover, the second part of the verse says, and that you bring the poor that are cast out into your house. Okay. Now, these are very, very demanding scriptures, aren't they? We've walked past plenty of homeless guys. We may have given them a few pounds or cents or euros to go and get something to eat. We may have bought them a sandwich. But this goes a step further. And if we're thinking about loving our neighbor as ourselves, these are the standards to which God is referring. Bring the poor that are cast out to your house. Moreover, when you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Give the guy or give the lady the shirt off of your own back. Big asks, aren't they? It's not unusual for us to connect with giving in a way that, for example, you know, many of us around the room will have direct debits to charities, and on a monthly basis, we may even not notice the fact that $20 or so has gone from accounts and are being donated to charities who help people in the third world or even more locally. And in addition to that, we may contribute to charities. We may leave bags of clothes out for collections, or take them to places where they get recycled and that sort of thing, and shared out. But I'm not decrying that. Please don't think that for a minute, because that has a considerable value. But what I want to get across today is, and if I hopefully can do that, is the importance of intervening in a very direct and personal way with people who are in need. And that's challenging, it's awkward, it's difficult, particularly if you're British. We're a little bit stuck up about that sort of thing. So, but it's very demanding. This says, reach out to somebody who's in trouble and make a difference. Make a meaningful difference. I hope there are loads of people in this room who are absolutely brilliant at this, and I'm alone in thinking that I fall far short of this standard myself. So let's look at Matthew 25, beginning in 34, verse 34, about the characteristics that Jesus Christ expects us to have in order to be able to inherit his kingdom. That's why we're here. We're thinking about how we prepare for the kingdom of God. We'll see some very similar things to what we read in Isaiah, actually. So in Matthew 25, 34, it says, then shall the king say to them on his right hand, you'll remember this is the sifting of the goats from the sheep from the goats, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. because I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. These are pictures from Syria, by the way. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to me. So both of these scriptures that we've read are incredibly personal interventions with people in need. And that's a very demanding standard for us to follow. And moreover, we can think about how we might want to do that in our lives. And it takes planning. It's not necessarily the sort of thing that you can just do off the bat. You don't necessarily walk up to a homeless person and say, come home with me. There are some risks associated with that in particular. But there are ways to do that which mitigate risks that are associated with that, but mean that you can intervene and you can work with people in a very direct manner such as that. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you anything to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison? And when did we come to visit you? And the king shall answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, inasmuch as you've done it to one of these, the least of these my brothers, you've done it to me. But then he ups the game. And he says, it's not just about doing that with your neighbor, loving your neighbor as yourself. We're expected to love our enemies in exactly that sort of same way. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, it says in Matthew 5:44. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those that despitefully use you and abuse you. Oops. Looks like we've got a bit of a technical problem here, guys. Sorry about that. Okay, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And then when we read that Romans 12:1 in that context, it says, Paul's speaking to the church at Rome, just up the road, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, giving in a very personal way to people who have need, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So in conclusion, we can set our lives out to acquire all sorts of status and respect from our friends, and you know, we can adopt all of those wonderful brands that are out there to adopt, and I'm pretty good at showing off my Ray-Bans and my Apple iPhone and all of that good stuff and tinkling the keys of my car around. But actually, those sorts of things should be far, far secondary to our desire to intervene in the lives of people who have need. And it's those sorts of things that differentiate us as individuals and draw attention to the way that God's Spirit works in our lives and make the difference and a huge contrast between the get way of life and the give way of life.